Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am proud to be your host. I am John Jacob Schmidt. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name, too. I hope you guys had a blessed weekend this weekend. I know many of you did because I was with many of you, or some of you, I should say. I just got back in from Marble, Washington for what is normally the God and Country celebration up in Marble. What an amazing group of wonderful, God-fearing patriots that just have it going on. And this was a very encouraging and much-needed weekend for many of us. This year they did something a little bit different. This year was a, invitation only to leadership throughout the Pacific Northwest. There were multiple pastors, legislators, other elected officials, rather, community leaders, and, those with a voice and those with a reach, those that are in the fight, that have been in the fight. And specifically, there must have been 35 leaders. Many of them, well, I think all of them have been attacked at some point. If you are effective, you're going to come under attack from lies, propaganda, misinformation, just general attacks, right? So this year was particularly a difficult year for a lot of the patriots, and we got a sense that what we've been going through is essentially preparation for the next level of what is to come. I believe, many of us believe, the fight for our heritage, to preserve our liberty, the things we care about, and to push back against this a godless, anti-American, anti-freedom agenda in place of globalism, Marxism, is really going to, I think that it's just going to intensify, and that's what this was about. This was about prayer. It was about really counseling with one another and discussing these things, and more than really I can get into, but it was just really great. Trusted people, super, really, for real, trusted people that is very exciting to be a part of. So now next year, it looks like it's going to go big because we're going to be in it. For next year, we're going to be in the fight. Next year is 2020. There's a lot on the table for the next year, including not to the least of which are elections. And I'm not just talking about President Trump's re-election bid. I'm talking about across the country, things are coming unraveled, and very, very much a manifestation of the spiritual warfare that we're in. Now, I want to share some things with you. What I'm going to do, because I was gone all weekend, I just got in. Something that's somewhat of a treat for many of you who didn't catch it. When I sat in for Representative Matt Shea about a month ago, one of the guests that I interviewed was somebody that we're all familiar with, and that's James Wesley Rawls, the author of The Patriots, a book series, multiple other preparedness books, and of course the senior editor over at Survival Blog. So I'm going to re-air that tonight. But I wanted to share some things with you before we get to that. By the way, this segment is brought to you by our friends at 299 Days. Glenn Tate, the author, specifically with the 10-book series about the collapse and the rebuilding in America. 299days.com is the website, so go check him out. And by the way, I got to interview his wife, Shelby Gallagher. We talked about some of the stuff going on in Portland and Antifa, and because that's where she's from. But that ties into her dystopian novel that she's written, books two, with book three coming out here in just a couple of weeks. But anyway, this ties in with that once again. Yesterday, I talked about the Antifa free summer camps. It's not Antifa free summer camps. It's Antifa free summer camps. So they are targeting 7th, 8th, 9th graders, kids from, 6 years old to 11 years old. I covered that yesterday. Well, somebody who was listening to that sent in something else just as an alternative. I thought this was really great. And there are some good things happening in our country. People are investing in the youth, in the next generation. And here's a good example of that. Ready Camp in southeastern Idaho. It's a teen CERT 1. And of course, CERT is, the community emergency response teams that are really grassroots. Well, it's a FEMA DHS organized a program, but they're really ran and operated and trained by volunteers, just kind of like local Red Cross, teaching first aid. Well, they do the same thing, but CERT is, first aid is just one component of that. So they have this Ready Camp. I just thought this is, something we could be doing in each of our communities. They've got a phd3.idaho.gov. This year is our sixth year, they said. They graduated 25 to 30 students, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. Each year they graduate. So I just want to share a little bit of this. You might be able to find something like this in your community or get involved or start something like this. But the Health SWDH and the Southwest Idaho Medical Reserve Corps are now in preparation for the Idaho Ready Camp 2019 to promote citizen preparedness among local youth. The camp is designed for 7th, 8th, and 9th graders who reside in southwest Idaho and are interested in learning how to help their families and communities become safer, stronger, and more prepared in the case of an emergency. Now, this is the sixth year for this camp, and according to their literature, it empowers our youth to serve as ambassadors of preparedness in their communities with hands-on exercises, learning opportunities, fun activities. So and they're encouraged to share these skills, with their families, their schools, and their communities. But interesting, some of the stuff that they taught, they learned about disaster preparedness, hazardous materials, fire safety, search and rescue, water rescue, triage, CPR, first aid, emergency radio communications, and terrorism. Training modules are presented by local first responders and experienced MRC. That's the Medical Reserve Corps. Volunteers using FEMA Teen Community Emergency Response Team curriculum. So this is something you could do in your own community. This emergency preparedness training is combined with traditional summer camp activities such as movie nights, campfires, marshmallow roast, pizza parties. Well, it sounds like pretty much any other camp that's not run by Marxists. This is really great. People are investing in their own kids by being part of these things. And they're learning resilience, self-reliance, emergency communications, all this stuff. Really, really great. So anyway, a listener in southeast Idaho, an Amron Corps operator, actually sent that in. And they're involved in their local CERT and heavily involved in Amron. And so I just thought it would be worth to pass along. There's something else that just came on, right on the heels of Antifa putting together this youth training camp, we get an alert today from Alerts USA. There's an article on it on several blogs now, but this one I just pulled from one of the listeners sent this to me from bigleaguepolitics.com. The new threat. Listen up, guys. I talked about this a year and a half ago with the stories of the uptick of acid attacks in Europe, specifically in France and especially England, with Islamic jihadists throwing acid on the faces and the bodies of people they choose to target. Maybe it's a Muslim woman who doesn't have her head covered. Maybe it is a white woman who's got too much shoulder showing, or pretty much anyone who they deem is an infidel and just needs to suffer attack. Now, you also might remember we covered Antifa. This was a bust where it was discovered, it was revealed. Antifa was in Europe meeting with Al-Qaeda / ISIS operatives in Europe. This was right about the time of, give or take 6 months, of President Trump's election, where Antifa members, leaders, were meeting with Islamic terrorists. Now, I'm painting the whole picture here. Remember when I said these acid attacks, mark my words, you are going to see Islamic jihadists carry those type of attacks out in America. We haven't seen it yet. It's a grotesque thing, muriatic acid. It immediately begins melting the skin, permanently burning the skin, chemical burns. It will melt. It dissolves your skin. It's irreparable without massive plastic surgery and years. And then you still don't end up coming out right. That's if you can keep your eyesight, your vision, without you getting it in your eye sockets, right? Well, I said this is going to come to America. It's a matter of time. But only it looks like at least the discussion is taking place. A new threat. Antifa plans acid attack on D.C. free speech rally. And that's coming up on the 6th at the end of this week. Or next Saturday, actually. And promises to blind attendees. Attendees at an upcoming free speech rally have been threatened with acid attacks via social media. A person utilizing artwork created by a Rolling Stone journalist who writes favorably about Antifa has threatened to attack attendees of the Demand Free Speech rally that's going to be in Washington, D.C. on July 6th. To attack attendees with muriatic acid, wax, and balloons. The threats were made on a popular right-wing Telegram channel. A user with the name Pound On Your Boy made several threats against the rally, prompting co-organizers to contact the FBI and the DHS, who are now planning to provide additional security to the event. Remember, FBI and DHS have declared Antifa to be a terrorist organization. Of course, you wait until the next the leftist regime gets in, and they won't be. They'll be removed from the list of terrorists, and you know Christians will be placed on the terrorist list. But this is the world that we're living in right now. FBI and DHS consider Antifa terrorists, and this right here is why. Over the course of about 10 minutes, the Pound On Your Boy account asked how the DC event is coming along and referenced muriatic acid multiple times. He said, I just want to toss as many balloons of muriatic acid in the faces as many proud boys as I can. He says, I just want to blind as many of you blankety blanks as possible. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on. Meanwhile, as I was reading this, other reports are coming in from Amron operators in the network. And they're talking about these milkshakes with stuff put in them that look like milkshakes. But now what they're doing is they're taking quick set concrete and mixing it in with milkshakes. I'm not sure how this is all, but this is in Europe, right? Well, not so much anymore. Now we've got reports, and I'm pulling it up right now. And there are multiple links here. Videos where an elderly man is being beaten. These are recent. This is in Portland. Journalist Andy Ngo, N-G-O, who ended up in the hospital with a brain bleed. Fox News reported Antifa conservative protests turn violent as demonstrators throw milkshakes of quick dry cement at police and onlookers. And this was reportedly this weekend in Portland. And police were retreating, multiple injuries, heads being busted open with these concrete milkshakes. So that's the insurgency is going from a non, well, this is not the normal peaceful intercourse in our country now. It's starting to become violent on these sides, and it's, of course, you know, they're trying to make out the conservative right wing as the violent ones, but we know the truth, don't we? So there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's all centered around communist, Marxist, just like we said, we weren't making it up, and we weren't kidding when we said where this is going to go. And of course, when we do say this is where they're going, this is where this leftist militancy is headed, people went, oh, that's ridiculous. You guys, you're overreacting. You're accusing them of something they haven't done yet. But we know the pattern. We also know the pattern they accuse us of things of us doing is a lie. But we know that the patterns of their behavior that we've seen, and of course the predictability of that, is the truth. It's history. It's our headlines. So anyway, I wanted to point that out to you guys. And I also strongly, I mentioned potential future acid attacks in America, I was thinking of Islamic extremists or Islamic jihadists. I wasn't really thinking of Antifa at that time, but it looks like that is, if they're just making hollow threats, the seed is planted. And we know that throwing concrete, small handheld blocks of concrete at police officers, causing them to retreat, is not theory. It's not just blowing off steam. These are what took place this weekend with multiple people injured, head injuries. And it looks like they're already thinking, we need to take things to the next level with muriatic acid. Just like last year, I want to reiterate, I strongly recommend that you add bottled water, at least 4 bottles of bottled water, to your first aid medical kits that you guys carry in your vehicles, some trauma kits and things like that, along with your combat rifles and other more advanced counterinsurgency type of measures, life-saving measures, right? Whether it's an active shooter situation or whether it's an acid attack, having water will help very quickly dilute the acid and the effects of the acid as quickly as you can get on onto the victims as possible to keep that from... It will continue burning. It just keeps burning down deep. Then of course, you try to wipe it off and you smear it, and then your hands are melting, and it's a mess. It's a horrible, despicable, vile way to attack innocent people. It's just unreal. So, additional water. Somebody had also mentioned baking soda. I don't know how effective baking soda would be on chemical burns. I'm sure it would have some soothing effect, but if nothing else, water. Have water on hand to quickly dilute that. Add it to part of your kit. It's the new world that we're living in. And the things that are coming. So I just want to plant that little seed in your brains. All right. Now, the next 3 segments are going to be, first of all, the first segment will be the current news at the time when I did this show on Patriot Radio. And then the segments 3 and 4 will be the re-airing of my interview with James Wesley Rawls from last month on Patriot Radio. You guys have a blessed, super blessed, and a safe Independence Day. And thank God every day this week, not just the 4th, not just on Thursday. Thank God for the country that we have. It is worth preserving. It's worth fighting for. And the cost of liberty is eternal vigilance. We just can't let up. The bad guys are not taking a day off. All right. So we're going to take a day off to celebrate on Thursday, but we're not going to take a day off from being vigilant. Right. All right, guys. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. God bless all of you across the free zones. And for those of you outside the wire in occupied territory, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Be safe. And until we meet next weekend, this is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name, too. Segment 2 coming up is actually segment 1 from the show that we are re-airing from a month ago while I sat in for Representative Matt Shea on Patriot Radio. Segment 2 here tonight is brought to you by our friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the Inland Pacific Northwest, specifically the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. If you're looking to strategically relocate to the heart of the American Redoubt, check them out today at Selkirk Mountain realestate.com. Carrying on the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteef, bringing you the news behind the news and the story behind the story. Sitting in for Representative Matt Shea, this is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you believe the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and you believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, then my name is your name too. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for allowing me, Matt, to sit in. Thank you for your trust. And thank you for all of you putting up with me while your favorite radio host is away today. Well, I hope you all are having a blessed week. There's a lot going on in the news. I'm going to be covering some of that. There's a lot of heavy stuff going on, and I've gotten a lot of listener emails. For those of you who may not know, I also host Radio Free Redoubt, which is a weekly podcast on Sunday evenings, and then our radio show on Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 9:30 on the on KTW or the Liberty Broadcasting, the ACN affiliate. So I've gotten quite a bit of listener letters and some folks that are just frustrated at seeing the condition of their country. And it's cyclical. This is something that, you know, about every 90 days I get this kind of a mini avalanche of emails coming in from folks that are frustrated about what's happening in their country, and they want to know what to do about it. They just want to be encouraged. They want to be told, hey, everything's going to be okay. So I'll tell you, everything's going to be okay. But it doesn't mean that we won't go through a storm first. So I want to, I'm really looking forward to our guests we're going to be bringing on here shortly. Most of you are familiar with. If you haven't, it's going to be a real treat for you. We haven't been able to talk to him for quite a while. But on the international front, let's talk about some of the news. Just looking at the headlines right now, things are really becoming volatile as it relates to Iran. Iran is saying this is the false flag drone attack on the Saudi oil tanker. They're basically warning the United States that they are prepared to go all out war. They're accusing the United States of dragging Iran into a devastating war, which is really interesting because they've been saying for decades now they are going to destroy the United States and Israel. So right now there's conflicting information about whether or not we're preparing 120,000 troops to counter the Iranian threat. But we're continuing to watch this very closely. We know all of this stuff has to happen. And also on the other side of Asia, China vowing a people's war. And just from the Drudge headline, blasting greedy and arrogant Trump. Well, I just want to remind you of Matthew 24:6. It says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And it's not yet, but we know things are getting closer, don't we? But keep your eyes to the sky. Our King is going to return. And he also said there would be hardship that we would have to go through. But all of this is just a sliver of time compared to eternity. And we belong to him. Stay close to him. Stay in his word. Now, in our own country, we have what I've been covering, and I know Matt has been covering for quite some time. And that is the more increasingly overtly hostile communist movement, Marxist-backed movement. And Campus Reform just released an article, an exclusive article, "Revolutionary Communists Descend on UCLA and Advocate the Overthrow of the System." Now, it's just a bunch of wayward college kids, right? You can't really take them seriously. Their minds aren't right at that age anyway. Well, what's interesting to note is that this latest legislative session in Olympia, it was noted by several conservative political activists as they were working within the Capitol, that more and more of the Democrats, the leftists working in the legislature, were openly wearing Antifa pins, lapel pins on their clothing. Antifa is the militant left-wing anarcho-Marxist communist revolutionary groups. So it's not just a bunch of wayward kids, but in this situation here down in UCLA, the Revolutionary Communist Party USA distributed manifestos and featured displays at the University of California, Los Angeles. The group called for the formation of organized fighting forces, claiming the group must be ready to continually train and deploy new forces and leaders. And they're quoted as saying, "We are going for an actual overthrow of the system and a whole better way." Of course, communism is always a better way, right? They're going to make it better than the last time they tried it and failed because they just didn't implement it properly. But this time, socialism, we're going to make it work because they didn't do it right. Well, it's a lie. It always leads to boots on the throats of the citizens. The Revolutionary Communist Party passed out flyers urging revolution, but saying it will not provoke violence, quote unquote, at this stage. And they continued calling for the formation of organized fighting forces, claiming the group must be ready to continually train and deploy new forces and leaders, and called for the establishment of a new socialist republic of North America. I hope you got that. These are our headlines today. Of course, you won't hear about this in the fake news. They said, "Do not attempt to openly control and govern territory until the necessary favorable balance of forces has been achieved." These guys are patient. They're working on a long-term goal, but the emphasis is on they are working on this. And of course, they appeal to the women. "The fury of women can and must be fully unleashed as a mighty force of proletarian revolution." But see, what's interesting is at the same time, they are those of us who are warning about the advancement of Islam and its goals to displace the United States Constitution and American ideals. They're calling us Islamophobes, but those that they are so-called standing up for are going to repress and oppress the very women that they're saying whose fury must be unleashed as a mighty force. So a lot of confusion here. And of course, not all of the college students are up on they're favorable, looking at this favorably. This one young woman said, "I'm a Democrat and I absolutely cannot stand Trump or the Pence administration, but these people are out of their minds." Well, welcome to the new Democrat Party. See, what you thought you were a Democrat. Well, these people that are out of their minds are taking control of it. You got some choices to make here in the future. She says the United States is a democracy, and if they truly want them gone, they should be advocating for impeachment or helping candidates to align with their own values. I'm not an expert in politics, but this kind of sounds like treason. Well, first of all, you're not an expert in politics because this is not a democracy. This is a republic. But you're absolutely correct in your assessment that this does sound a lot like treason. In fact, 18 U.S. Code 2385 covers advocating the overthrow of the government. It criminalizes knowingly advocating for the destruction of the U.S. government, including forming groups and spreading information for that purpose. And of course, those of us who are in the military, we took an oath to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And now we have them here on our doorstep, and we're looking at these groups and identifying them as very clear enemies, self-avowed enemies. And we say, who are these people? We need to know who these people are, because there's people right here in our own communities that are saying they espouse this and they want to take to the streets and join these radical militant groups. But as soon as you say, well, I want to know more about these people, let's do some background checks and find out more. Oh, you are surveilling political opponents. Now, when was the last time communist revolutionary violent militant groups were political opponents? The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security has declared Antifa as a domestic terrorist group. Terrorist group become a political opponent? That's like saying we need to learn more about these Al-Qaeda operatives. Oh, you're doing surveillance on political opponents, are you? You dirty, rotten so-and-so. But I think that our leaders who are prudent should be doing this. And we should be standing against the Marxist ideals. I mean, Marx himself, he said, my objection in life is to dethrone God by deifying man. He also said, my object in life is to dethrone God and to destroy capitalism. I covered this on my show last week, the satanic roots of Karl Marx's doctrines and his influences. And these people are espousing Marxism. Satan is at the root of it. Well, let's move on. Other news from One News Now, great news outlet, a Christian news outlet, brings this to us. The second public school district in Washington state in less than a week has warned that it must cease and desist its promotion of Islam. Can you believe this? Through its Ramadan policy that gives Muslim students special privileges, the Freedom of Conscience Defense Fund sent the superintendent of the school board of North Shore School District, which is in Bothell, Washington, just about 30 minutes outside of Seattle, a cease and desist letter demanding that the officials put an end to their special Ramadan policy or face legal action. Now, here's a flipping of the tables. I wonder how long this is going to last, because these are usually something that you hear from anti-Christian groups that get all bent out of shape when they find out that a teacher was praying with students after school or something. Well, the FCDF executive director, Daniel Piedra, condemned the policy instructing faculties to make special accommodations for Muslim students during the Islamic holiday season. He said the school district's so-called Ramadan accommodations run roughshod over the First Amendment and are a blatant insult to students of other faiths. Piedra argued in a statement on FCDF's website that under the mantle of diversity and inclusion, school officials have exalted Islam and the state-sponsored religion as the state-sponsored religion. Teachers and parents are outraged, and they should be. So that's what's going on right here in Washington State, over there in Washington State, not here in Liberty, but keep an eye on that one as well. There's a lot of really interesting stuff happening right now. I wanted to cover this listener letter, but I think I'm going to save it. I wanted to make sure we have enough time. And I wanted to talk about this Liberty State event in Wenatchee, Liberty, last weekend. It was heartwarming to see so many patriots. This iFiber one said there was about 190 people. I don't think that's right. I think there's, my head count was, I'm looking at least double that. I don't know how they got, there was way more than that. This place was packed, but it doesn't matter. This article covering this, there was some excellent speakers there, but Representative Matt Shea was a keynote speaker. iFiber One News did, well, afterward they got a hold of Representative Matt Shea, became extremely belligerent. The article that they came out with started out fairly objective, but then got pulled into the fake news rut. I suppose the reporter just couldn't help himself. So watching that unfold, I just lost all respect for iFiber One. I thought they did a very objective story covering Liberty State, one of the rallies earlier in the year or last year, but not this reporter. So this is what he writes. When asked at the rally if he condemns political violence, Shea declined to answer and interrogated his questioner instead. All right, first of all, that's false. I was standing off to the side and I overheard this because Representative Shea didn't decline to answer. His answer was, nobody that I associate with is advocating for violence. Nobody's openly advocating for violence. Nobody's secretly planning for violence. And his interrogating his questioner essentially was when Representative Matt Shea beautifully, he turned it around and said, let me ask you something. After he did answer the question, he didn't decline. And he said, will you denounce the violent acts of Antifa and other leftist groups? And three, four times, this aggressive journalist refused to denounce the violent acts of those on the left. So it really just speaks for itself. And same thing goes for the Spokesman Review. Spokesman Review, fail. They failed. So is KXLY. I've called them out specifically to denounce. They're happy to run these misinformation, half-truth, out-of-context hit pieces and smear campaigns against Christian patriots who are on the leading edge of fighting for liberty and our core values. But I have challenged these so-called media outlets to denounce the violent acts and the rhetoric, not just, because it's not just words, we're talking about actual actions, to denounce the violence of those on the left. And what have we gotten so far? Crickets. Absolutely nothing. And then Shea ended the interview. And what's funny is they linked that the star speaker, controversial Representative Matt Shea, came from his home district. Okay. But they put a hyperlink in there, controversial state Representative Matt Shea, which takes you to none other than another Guardian article, a foreign-owned tabloid, which has a long track record, openly boasts of being leftist, and has a long track record of writing in favor of militant leftist organizations like Antifa and running hit pieces against conservative Christian patriots who are fighting for our core traditional values. So he links to that as like a support, as in as if there was any credence or any weight that could be put into this article now to back up his story about how embroiled this representative is. He linked the Liberty State movement to the American Redoubt movement. And this is what they wrote. This is what he says. A push among Christian survivalists to establish a sovereign state within the American West that would include parts of Eastern Washington. And then, this is how misleading they are. As soon as he says that, it cuts to Representative Shea's video saying, you'd have a completely new constitution, Shea said. And I think that's what the beauty of this is. So to give the implication that Representative Shea is talking about a completely new constitution for this new sovereign state carved out of the American West called the American Redoubt, which includes Eastern Washington. This is how misleading it is. See, hey, what does the Bible say? Liberty. Proclaim liberty throughout the land, right? I mean, that's engraved. Did you know that's engraved on the Liberty Bell? That's from Leviticus 25:10. So it says, proclaim liberty, and ye shall hallow the 50th year. What a better way to pay homage to Penn and hallow the 50th year than with a bell proclaiming liberty. Isn't that interesting?
Segment 3 coming up is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property. Check them out, strategiclandscapedesign.com. Now we return you to the interview with James Rawls from Patriot Radio.
The American Redoubt is a strategic relocation. It is a political migration movement. And matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but we're also going to be talking about some of the things that we're faced with today from a strategic standpoint, from a preparedness standpoint, as American Christian Americans, making sense of the international headlines, the threats that we face domestically. And we're talking about what you can do about that. So I think it's time to bring on our guest. It is an honor, really, to have somebody who's a great inspiration to me and has been for years. He is a survivalist author and a lecturer. He's the founder and editor of survivalblog.com. He's a former U.S. Army intelligence officer, and now he works as a full-time blogger and a freelance writer. He's authored several best-selling nonfiction and fiction survivalist books, and his expertise is in retreat security, food storage, firearms, communications, first aid, and off-grid power systems. He's highly intelligent. He has a BA degree from San Jose State University with minor degrees in military science, history, and military history, and he served as a Army Intelligence Corps officer. So, without further ado, let's bring him on. James Wesley Rawls, thank you for being with us on Patriot Radio.
Well, thank you for having me on.
It's really good to hear your voice again. This is for the folks in the listening audience, this is the gentleman who cast the vision and coined the phrase American Redoubt, the political migration movement. A lot of you have cut your teeth on his first novel and subsequent books, but the first novel, Patriots, A Novel of the Coming Collapse. So, James, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm not at all surprised to hear the international press completely mischaracterize the American Redoubt movement. It's very clearly merely a political migration movement. It is not any call for secession of any of the states or for establishing any new states other than perhaps partitioning Eastern Washington from Western Washington or partitioning Eastern Oregon from Western Oregon, just as was done with the Virginias many years ago constitutionally.
That's right. Yeah, and well, okay, since we talked last, the momentum was really starting to build up with Liberty State. And I know you've been kind of sitting back, watching from a distance, watching things unfold. What is your assessment as far as the growth of the Liberty State movement now?
Well, I think the growth of the Liberty State movement is directly, inversely proportional to the decline of morals of the state of Washington and what's going on in Olympia. As Western Washington gets further and further unhinged, out of contact with reality, and gallops off on its absolute leftist, statist crusade, it's going to add more and more credence to the supposition that Eastern Washington should be a separate state from Western Washington. It should still be a state in the Union, but I don't see any way that the folks in Eastern Washington can reconcile themselves with the folks in Western Washington. They've become almost diametrically opposed on so many issues. And the latest, of course, has been the firearms issue, where the folks in Western Washington have become absolutely rabid anti-gunners, and the folks in Eastern Washington predominantly are still very much pro-gun.
Yes.
And that issue alone is enough to justify a partitioning of Eastern and Western Washington. So I think Liberty State is, at this point, almost a fait accompli.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of when or if they will separate, but when. I think it's inevitable. And at this point, the folks in Olympia, I think, are going to be in tap dance mode, just trying to exit gracefully so it won't be too embarrassing that two-thirds of the landmass of Washington wants absolutely nothing to do with the liberal buffoons who are calling the shots in Olympia.
Absolutely agree. You know, speaking with several of the legislators over there, I had several meetings with them during this legislative session, and they said this was overtly the most anti-Christian legislative session that they had ever seen. And now, I don't know if you'd heard earlier when I was covering some of the news, but they're also openly wearing, some of them are openly wearing Antifa lapel pins now in the Capitol. And I know that after speaking with Lady Liberty, she was fielding a lot of the calls and emails that were forwarded to her, people expressing their they are so angry right now. The message that we were trying to put out was calm down. Don't do anything drastic right now, because the things that people are saying they want to do in response to this hardcore leftist push, we're trying to just encourage people to take that energy and channel it into supporting Liberty State.
Yeah, I think people should emphasize the positive aspects of this.
Yes.
Washington is not so much losing half the state, but the folks who are left west of the Cascades are going to further consolidate their view of the world, and they're going to allow the people east of the Cascades to consolidate their view. Instead of two U.S. senators, there'll be four. And there'll be probably one more representative in the U.S. House. So if anything, Washington will be better represented. It will be more fairly represented. And if there was any chance for, physical confrontation between those factions, I think it would help diffuse it. So I think all in all, it's a win-win. And for the folks in Olympia to drag their feet on this, I think would be a mistake. I think they ought to very gracefully say, yes, we can see that there's a cultural divide between the two halves of the state, and they should kick it on up to the U.S. Congress and let the federal legislators complete the process.
Yeah. Well, that's the legal and constitutional process for this. And the matter of fact, there's discussions right now taking place with Puerto Rico, who's already voted to become the 51st state, but is kind of stalled because of the whole idea of throwing off the balance of power and having to essentially most likely Democrat senators added to Congress. But Liberty State would balance that back out. So that has got some folks looking at it very seriously now, bringing them in just like Hawaii and Alaska at the same time.
Right. And I think that as time goes on, we'll see if the Liberty State movement is successful, we will see it emulated in Eastern Oregon. We'll probably see it emulated in Northern Colorado. We might even see it emulated in upstate New York.
Yeah.
Because there, likewise, is just as great of a socio-political divide.
Illinois is another one that's up and coming.
Sure.
There's a lot of really strong discussion about that. And they're in the same situation. It really comes down to two caucuses, really. It's not Democrat and Republican. It is rural values versus urban ideals.
Right. Right. And, of course, the real gain politically will be the addition in each case for each of those states having two more conservative U.S. senators representing those states, the new states. So I think it'll really help it a number of different ways.
Yeah. The other interesting concept is the terminology that they're using. For example, I noted in Idaho, there is a movement to reclaim Idaho. It is a very hard leftist effort to do what they're calling reclaim Idaho, as if they were taking it back, like the conservatives came and took Idaho from them. So this is the type of twisted. It's built on a false premise in the very beginning that they need to rally around to take Idaho back or any conservative area back. So it's very interesting to watch their minds work and to watch the phraseology that they use to try to advance these causes. But that's also led to some of the finger pointing from those in Western Washington saying, you guys are trying to divide the state. You're trying to divide us. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think that's a fair characterization at all. And if you look at the press that's come out, they don't use the term partition. They use the term secession because they want to strike fear into people, making it sound as if we want to start another civil war.
That's right.
That couldn't be farther from the truth. And as I mentioned earlier, I think this will actually calm things down between Eastern and Western Washington. By having true representation in a new state capital and having two new U.S. senators and a new U.S. congressman, we'll probably end up with a lot less strife between East and West. So it's not division. It's merely partition. And to claim that this is going to be divisive, I think, is absolutely looking at it upside down.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you put it that way because that's exactly how I see it. So, and I think most of the people do as well. It is wildly popular. In three separate polls now, we're averaging about 73% popular support for partitioning the state and forming another state, Liberty State. And so the next phase now is to start bringing in the elected officials from the county commissioners. And some of them are very on board, but some of them they want to dip their toe in the water. They want to kind of watch it from a distance. They're not sure if it's something that's going to be popular or unpopular. But 73% of their constituents want it. So it's something worth paying attention to if you're an elected official.
Right. And not all of the county commissioners have even broached the subject yet. I think if a model resolution was put before each set of county commissioners in all of the counties east of the Cascades, or even just outside of even going over the Cascades a bit, if that were put before them, I think, and they looked at it objectively, I think they would approve it because they could see the benefits.
Yeah.
Now, economically, it might actually be a slight disadvantage for some counties, but in terms of truly representing the people, the sovereign will of the sovereign people, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. The latest numbers that just came out show Liberty State now surpassing the income of Idaho with a relatively similar population at about $10 billion now, and compared to
that's not particularly surprising, really, when you look at the economic base of Eastern Washington You look at Grand Coulee Dam. You look at the tremendous economic base of the Spokane Valley. With the aluminum industry, there's a tremendous amount of prototype machining, production machining, plastic injection molding. There's a lot more industry, when you come right down to it, in Washington, eastern Washington, than there is in Idaho. Because other than Micron technology, Idaho is still essentially an agrarian state.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, and there's plenty of businesses that have already pledged. They said we will pull up stakes and we'll move our entire operation and our families to Liberty if this happens, just because of the whole mindset toward corporate laws and tax structures and so on and so forth. It would just
I think prosper. You'll see people coming in from other states, and as well as the original Washington, I think you're going to see large numbers of traditionalist families and small businesses and good-sized businesses that just up and move. They'll say, this is where we want to be. This is where we want to raise our children. This is how we want to raise our children, because obviously Liberty State is going to be very pro homeschooling and very pro private schools.
Yeah.
So I think it's inevitable. And when it happens, the whole zeitgeist of the thing will be overwhelming. There'll be so many enthusiastic people moving in that it will more than offset any economic dislocation of having to establish a separate state capital and disconnecting the welfare base from one half of the state versus the other.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, this is very encouraging, and it's encouraging to hear you say that. I know the listeners, they're trying to process this as well. You know, they're listening to let's call it fake news, saying, well, they could never afford it. They take in so much from the western side, but the numbers aren't really supporting that. So people are confused, and they need to hear that type of encouraging information, that type of perspective on it. But I do want to switch directions a little bit. We're talking about the author of Patriots. We're talking to the senior editor of Survival Blog. Were you, with a military intelligence background, you have a knack for assessing threats and what's going on the macro scale, internationally, and how that could affect us. And then some of the things that we need to be paying attention to from an intelligence standpoint, as far as processing that information and anticipating what that could eventually turn into as potential threats to our families and our communities. So there's a lot of stuff going on internationally right now. Things are really ramping up with China and specifically Iran. Now we're mobilizing military assets to deal with that. We're not even talking Venezuela right now. We're just what's in the news cycle right now. What's your assessment of that? Where do you see it going, and how is that going to affect us in small town USA?
Well, I think the situation in Iran will primarily be bluster, although there is the potential for some terrorist attacks. And we can't forget the fact that Iran has been the primary sponsor of the terrorist groups in Afghanistan all these years.
Yeah.
The roadside bombs that are being used in Afghanistan, the detonators are all constructed in Iran and donated to these so-called freedom fighters by Iran. It's Iranian technology. It's truly state-sponsored terrorism, because not only is it done with the approval of the Iranian government, but with Iranian government funding. So
yeah.
There is the potential for some terrorist activity. The shipping in the Persian Gulf is certainly at risk.
Yes.
And I think, though, that Iran is probably going to avoid disrupting oil tanker traffic in any major way for fear that will cripple themselves economically.
Right.
So now there could be some radical third parties involved who could tip that balance. But the Iranian government itself, I don't believe will do so.
Russia has been kind of a distant and not so distant ally of Iran. Do you see them meddling in any of this or even covertly?
Well, I think their main goal, their main goals and their main plans really are more economic rather than geopolitical.
Right.
You know, the Russians have always, you know, one of their big quests for centuries has been warm water ports. And if they could somehow manipulate the situation where they end up with an additional port, or even just, you know, a friendly port call for their military warships where they could gain some traction in the Persian Gulf, I think they would certainly lean in that direction. And in the long term, Russia has to be looking at their long-term energy needs, both for oil and for natural gas.
Yeah.
And although they don't have an immediate need, if you look 30 to 100 years down the road, they may be looking at it from that strategic standpoint as well.
Sure. And, well, that kind of probably likely ties into their motives for being involved in Venezuela. I mean, we have China and Russia and Cuba all have military assets on the ground, essentially backing Maduro. With the United States plus 50 other countries now are, you know, getting behind Guaido as the official president. What's your do you have an assessment of where you think that's going to go and how that's going to play out?
It's really difficult to tell because Maduro has the country locked down so tightly. They've only armed the pro-communist militias, and they've done their best to disarm everyone else ever since 2006.
Yeah,
his predecessor started that. And because there's this horrible imbalance, the natural progression of counter-revolution, which would otherwise be taking place, has been forestalled. Because, again, the small arms are only in the hands of the pro-communist, pro-Maduro forces. So it's really delaying that natural progression. I think, though, as the economy continues to crater, where starvation sets in, where chronic diseases take off, where life expectancy continues to shorten, where infant mortality continues to skyrocket, eventually people are just going to say, enough is enough. We don't have a functioning economy. We absolutely need a fair, open, honest, semi-democratic government of some sort. Maduro has to go. I don't think they've quite reached that point because there's been obviously some very large street protests, but when the majority of the population all reaches that conclusion, and that majority includes people who are in uniform, that will be the tipping point. But again, it's been delayed.
Yeah. Kind of a longstanding pattern of communist dictators using street thugs and arming them after disarming the citizenry to enforce their policies, isn't there?
Yes, and it goes back even before Cuba. So, although I think the Cuban model, I think, shows just how heavily a government can control its own citizenry in isolation.
Right.
The situation in Cuba was ideal for that because it was an island nation, and there really wasn't a huge opportunity for a resistance movement to operate. You know, you can't operate across a border when all you have is ocean. Now, with Venezuela, you have, you know, adjoining nation states, and there you have the opportunity for a government in exile, for a army of resistance, the whole works.
Right.
That's, we've seen that play out time and time again in the last century.
That's right.
So in Venezuela, I think that will eventually be seen. The American Central Intelligence Agency was famous for supporting such movements, and of course they were behind the failed Bay of Pigs invasion.
Right.
But I'm not sure how enthusiastic they are and what marching orders they've been given to arm their own Contras, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah, we're kind of in a stalemate. It's kind of a standoff moment right now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, much to the detriment of the Venezuelan people, who are really genuinely suffering right now.
Yeah, we've spoken with folks from Venezuela who have come to the United States, and they're pretty universally saying, Americans, do not let yourselves become disarmed, no matter what. They're helpless over there. Their friends and family are helpless there.
Yeah. And unfortunately, because the American mass media is so pro-leftist, they really have de-emphasized this story. They've really de-emphasized the utter evil of the Maduro regime. And they've also done a very poor job of documenting the plight of the average Venezuelan. You know, the life expectancy is dropping radically. I read something the other day that the average Venezuelan has lost almost 30 pounds.
Wow.
That's just, and granted, a few people could have afforded to lose that weight, but that includes teenagers. Okay,
right? Yeah,
so
it's children. Don't tell Bernie Sanders that, or he's going to use that as a selling point for America.
Yeah, well, just think of the stunted growth of those poor children. So the mass media has really done a great disservice in underreporting this, because they're truly sympathetic to Maduro and all that he stands for.
Yeah.
They've given him a pass.
And even if not sympathetic toward Maduro, they just are so, what's the word? They're so insane over President Trump that it doesn't matter what he does.
They're opposed to any policy he has.
Even the most
logical common sense. And even if Trump were to make globalist noises, if it was seen as a Trump policy, they'd probably oppose that as well.
Coming up is the fourth and final segment here with the interview with James Wesley Rawls. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters, WERKZ.com, for all your custom holster needs, made right here in the American Redoubt.
Okay, so let's bring it home a little bit. We're seeing a real uptick in the radical, even violent leftist groups in the United States. UCLA now openly calling for a communist revolution, not to start fighting yet, but to start building up their forces and train them. We've seen numerous examples of violence carried out in the street to advance Marxist communist ideologies and movements, and with real now we're seeing a lot of these folks specifically target, including the latest school shooting last week in Colorado, targeting Trump supporters and Christians and others who oppose their agenda. What's your gut as far as the timeline that we're on, or the trajectory we're on in the United States, and what would you say the average American should be doing?
I think it's going to continue in a slow threat spiral, where eventually Antifa is going to up the ante, and eventually people will be killed. There'll be these street protests will become so radically violent that there'll be smashing skulls. People will die, and at some point, the gloves will come off. We really can't expect the police to do much because, especially in cities like Portland, where the city government is essentially pro-Antifa,
yeah,
and they probably given stand down orders just like the city of Berkeley, California, is famous for.
Yep.
But we'll see a gradual widening of the threat spiral. And at some point, all civility, all pretense of civility will be gone. And at that stage, I think it'll come down to the difference between people who really know how to defend themselves and, you know, which way to point a gun and how to operate a firearm will certainly prevail. And I'm not looking forward to that at all. It'll be a very ugly situation.
Yep.
But essentially, at some point, Antifa is going to have their posteriors handed to them.
Yeah. Well, and that's assuming that things politically are status quo to what they are right now. If we have a change in our government at the federal level where the...
If we had a Bernie
control.
Sanders administration,
right.
Or a
Hillary,
forbid Hillary or Chelsea or whoever.
Right.
If we ended up with a Cory Booker administration, we ended up with a solidly left-wing Democratic administration. Then things could get very sporty, and we could see a true advent of civil war in this country. And it would be very ugly, but I think it would be over very quickly.
Mm. Well, I hope and pray you're right. It doesn't come to that. And if it is, civil wars don't usually historically end quickly. It's just something we want to avoid. I mean, really what we need to do is call those who are in rebellion against authority and against God, especially the highest authority, to repentance. Repent right now. Just like Nineveh. You know,
right.
I mean, we're calling you to repent because the hammer's going to fall. Now's your call to repentance. Take it for what you want to do with it from there. Now you've got it. You heard it. And now the choice is yours. But
I really hope that there's a change of heart. That if history has taught us anything, is that groups that are diametrically opposed will eventually butt heads.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to predict how this will play out. But I actually think that if there is a second civil war in this country, it will not be protracted. I believe it'll be short and incredibly violent, and it'll be decisive within months or even just weeks.
Right.
Because of the disparity of force, of arms, and disparity of population, and also a disparity of will, because I don't think the will exists within the U.S. military or our police departments to be solidly behind a leftist administration.
Yeah.
If they're divided, and, you know, say half of the police, half of the military end up on the side of those who are attempting to, you know, basically get our country and our Constitution back, then I don't think it's going to last very long. Because if your average federal FBI agent, for example, or ATF agent, sees his coworkers either not showing up for work or getting shot on their doorsteps attempting to get to work, then they're not going to want to go to work either.
Right, right.
So they're just going to stay home. And I think if there is a second civil war in this country, that's going to be what characterizes it, is the vast majority of people who you would think would be combatants basically throw up their hands and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a non-combatant here.
Right.
I'm just going to see how this plays out. So then the disparity of numbers becomes even greater, and the only people who are showing any kind of resistance are just those federal agents who can be, who could have maybe their families. I don't think they'll even have time to put their families in compounds to protect them.
Right.
That's how quickly it could end.
Very interesting. And then, of course, that's not even taking into account to the opportunistic foreign powers that might want to, take advantage of the situation.
If it's a short-lived event, I don't think they're going to that foreign powers would have the opportunity to move troops into the United States in any kind of meaningful numbers before it was all over. If it does drag on, yes, perhaps that's the case. Lord knows who might be invited in. But if you think that your average American has no compunctions about shooting at federal agents, they certainly would have no compunctions whatsoever in pulling the trigger on someone who is with a foreign army that's seen as an invader.
Right, right. Well, you sure certainly given us a lot to think about, and really appreciate your insight. These are, kind of fresh perspectives. But and it's also encouraging. We don't want this. We are not asking for this. We're pleading, for a peaceful resolution. But
absolutely.
In the meantime, I think just those of us who even casually study history, I think it would be prudent of us to build up the means for us to be able to provide for our families, to defend our families, life, liberty, and property, and then look to the Lord and hope we don't need it.
Well, that's my prayer as well. And ultimately, everything that we've been talking about is in God's hands. And
indeed,
as Christians, we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that the source of our freedom, the source of our life itself, is in the Lord, and that the ultimate arbiter in any conflict or in any struggle for even partitioning a state comes down to the effectual prayers of believers in God and God's sovereign will.
Amen to that. Absolutely agree. All right, well, we're down to about a minute. James, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And just if you could take a few moments just to talk about your books, where people can go to learn more, and, of course, your website.
Well, sure. I have published several books, and I do encourage your listeners, if they haven't read them, to at least read my novel, Patriots, because it's a good think piece. But please take full advantage of the free information assets that are available at survivalblog.com. It's been published almost every day without fail since 2005. So it has huge, very deep, very diverse archives on a broad range of subjects related to family preparedness.
Yes.
All those archives are fully searchable and free of charge. So please take full advantage of them. Print out the most important articles to you, make binders of reference material, and load yourself up a memory stick with the rest.
All right. Well,
nowadays you'll need about a 24-gigabyte stick to contain it all.
Wow. Okay, we're out of time. James Rawls from Survival Blog, thank you so much for being with us. This is John Jacob Schmidt. God bless.